Hey everybody, how's it going? New episode of the Phoenix MMA podcast. It was end of the day now. I've been busy all day long, sunsetting, but it's been a nice sunny Friday. So nice, it's been nice all week. Been working all day long. We got a couple people that are registering, doing pre-weigh-ins. So I wanted to get this podcast out for everybody. It'll be good for the entire gym to listen to if you have any interest in competing or you are competing tomorrow. So it'd be a good little thing to help out pre-competition wise and what to prepare for kind of in the future, or if you've competed before and you're still trying to get over some of your performance. Trying to optimize your performance when it comes to competition. Be a good episode. I'm gonna start doing a little bit more changes to the podcast. Not bad changes, good ones. I'm probably gonna start. I gotta come up with a new way, just whatever, a new one as opposed to just a new episode of the podcast. But I get a lot of really good ideas training throughout the week. A lot of things that could help out with jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai and kickboxing and wrestling. A whole lot of things that pop up. And the shame of it is that if I don't write it down, I don't fully write out the thought, then I kind of lose it. I'm sure everybody has that issue. But so I'm gonna start doing a little shorter format podcast episodes as well. So, but I'll still do the long format, like hour long ones or 35 to 55 minute, and then interview podcasts as well. I got a really cool interview in the future, that could be, hopefully just need to set it up, stop procrastinating. So really, really cool interview. So more interviews, and then we'll do some like little, shorter ones, like maybe two times a week, three times a week, just depending on how it comes up, but, shorter episodes as well to come up. So, this one's titled Day Before Battle. So this is going to help you out if you're competing tomorrow, or if you've got a tournament. We got a tournament in Naga tomorrow, and then the following Saturday we get grappling games. So if you're getting, if you're going to compete, this is obviously for my students that are competing tomorrow. Hopefully it helps you out and gives you some aid in it. And then, and also if you're getting into the competition scene, you're another tip as well to help you out with things. So, because I always talk to, basically how I come up with podcast ideas or students in the gym ask questions or have frustrations and issues. And if I think that I can get something across that'll be value, then boom, give value. So try to answer that on a large scale. Because it's hard to answer it to, you know, you might tell three people, but you know, there's 20 other people that wanted to hear that. So, so generate through questions and stuff like that. But this one, will, hopefully, help you out if you're competing tomorrow. Should help you out. It's going to be a day before battle. So it's mindset and getting ready for competitions and things. A couple things. First thing, was going over this with a student because trying to push for, right now, springtime, summertime, a lot of competitions, and I'm pushing some of the students that want to be competitors. Something that you need to understand that's really a secret. If you want to know a secret to getting good at jiu-jitsu, something that is really good that a mindset you could adopt from wrestlers, wrestling mindset. Wrestlers traditionally have always done translated very well to both jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and MMA. And it's not necessarily the wrestling technique. Wrestling technique is absolutely valuable. Even if you just put it down on a piece of paper, it's valuable to be able to decide where a fight takes place, whether it state remains on your feet or goes to the ground if you need to, so that you can decide what tools get to be used. That is a crucial part, but not just that, it's the mindset. And there's some things that you could adopt from wrestling. You got to think about a wrestling season. You're very, very active. It's also the reason why a lot of wrestlers burn out and quit, even if they have college scholarships or et cetera. Halfway through college, they burn out. So maybe you don't go as intense of a training or a competition schedule, but wrestlers, it's very normal. You'll have a dual meet, you'll have two matches on Monday, two matches on Wednesday, and then you'll do a tournament on Saturday, and that's week after week after week after week. So Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, a lot of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu competitors, a weakness I think that I see with a lot of people is they don't compete often enough. It's kind of like every single time you do a tournament, it's like jumping into a pool. And the longer it's been since the last time you competed, the more that kind of that little fear of like, oh, the cold water. Summertime, if you get into a rhythm, the first time you go swim in the summer, that cold water really startles you. But if you ever get into a rhythm where you're swimming multiple times a week, it disappears. It's the exact same thing with wrestling. But it's stress inoculation. So you are with competition in tournaments, but wrestling is that's a thing. So you get used to it. That's a big thing. The competitor aspect that wrestlers bring into the game really helps out. And a lot of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioners, I think, don't push enough on this competition scene, especially at the white and blue belt level. Lots of times that comes down to insecurity, basically. Then it comes down to people not being worried that they're going to lose, thinking they're not good enough. If you, at a white belt and a blue belt level, you know, if you're trying to protect or pad your record, if you're just trying to protect your record, of course you don't want to go out there and lose 90% of your matches, but you have to stretch yourself. That would be, you know, it's kind of like you only running a mile every day and then wondering why your cardio doesn't get better. You have to go from a mile to a mile and a half and 2 miles. Or if you were lifting weights and you lift the amount that you can lift every single day and wonder why, you know, your that particular lift isn't increasing, you know. So you have to stretch yourself in competition. It's one of the biggest secrets, one of the biggest keys to getting good quick. But you gotta knock out some of the insecurity and just be like, look, I would like my competitors and my students to think of it like this. You want to lose early. You want to lose fast. Lose often early in your career, because every time you lose, it's going to highlight something that you need to fix, and it's going to force you to fix it. So, the more matches you have, believe it or not, the more losses that you have, you're going to sharpen it faster. Now you got to, you know, put in the practice, and you have to go back to the drawing board, and you have to actually fix it. Even if you go out and you do a tournament, and let's say you get third place, you get fourth place, fifth place, etc. You're getting valuable experience every single time, and you start building a reputation, and you can actually, you can eventually get a reputation. You'd be surprised, let's say anybody was to roll with Paulo Miao, it would be really hard for the average Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioner to pass Paulo Miao's guard, not only because his guard is actually so good and so impassable, skill, you can't deny that, but mentally, just the mindset as well. I've seen this with students, and when professors will teach seminars and then roll with students at the end, the students will kind of sabotage themselves. The same thing happens in the competition scene. You know, if you develop a very, very strong game, it doesn't affect everybody. But some people it does. And you get that reputation of being a really, really tough competitor, and also at the same time you're getting the same skill level. So there's multiple benefits to it. Anyway, little tip to get good very fast. It's not the easiest one, but it definitely is there. So if you're competing tomorrow, this podcast, why I'm doing this episode really is to help you out with your mindset. I'll give you my best suggestion I have on mindset going into it. It might not be what you expect. It's neither really hard, and it's not really soft either. It's something different. It's very precise. I think that first, just random things that I didn't write down notes. The day before competition, you know, I've had a student that was going to, I believe, Cirque du Soleil, and asked, "Hey, is that a good idea?" I was like, "Yes, that's a good idea." Day before competition, you know, going to see a movie, doing things that you enjoy is a good thing. You can burn too many calories, mental calories, psychological calories. You don't want to be tense the night before the entire time. So, you know, eating with friends is a good thing. Something to have, you know, positive mindset, get you away from alcohol, get you away from any type of drama, stress, arguing, and then make sure that you get good sleep. But whatever that is, you know, that could be a movie, that could, you know, whatever some healthy thing that you like to do. Those would be good things. You don't have to be sitting up all night long studying film. We train really, really hard year round, so that when it comes to the day before and things like that, the work's done and we're prepared to compete. Don't stress that. You know, eating good food and having a relaxed night, an enjoyable night the night before competition, is not a bad thing. You know, I'm not going to tell you to stay up until 2 a.m. tonight going over studying tape and things like that. We need to do that work long ago, and that's why it's a year-round sport. You keep yourself consistently in it, and you're working. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you to stay 2 a.m., but also I'm not going to tell you to, there's also a side where you can get too relaxed. So you don't want to get too relaxed. Go over that in just a second. But just want to start this podcast out with, like, out of movies, I'm a big movie buff. I really like ancient war movies. Like, this clip is going to be from 300, but 300, Troy, anything kind of medievally, I'm pretty nerdy when it comes to that stuff, like, you know, dragons, swords, stuff like that. You know, there's a movie called The 13th Warrior, like Knight's Tale, First Knight. There's all these things like that, really, really dig. But there's a scene in 300 that is really good. It's a good scene. If you check it out, it's the wolf scene in 300. And I'm gonna play the audio here for a second. I think that they did a pretty good job at in my opinion, it is a pretty optimal competition mindset. You don't have to take this. You can try whatever style you like. It's just, I'm just telling you, from adopting different styles, this is one that I've seen that works for multiple people. It's very effective. Worked for me. And again, there's a lot of high level athletes that use this style and perspective. Now, the thing is, everybody's different. So you might dislike some of this and adopt some of it, you know, try it out, see what you think about it. It's just a suggestion. So again, I'm trying to help out all our competitors, that are competing. So, you know, you might like the Blitzkrieg style more. You might like the Zen style more. It depends on really what you like. But this is going to be one. So I'm going to start the scene off really quick. Here it goes. It's one of my favorite scenes, and definitely in this movie.
It's not fear that grips him. Only a heightened sense of things. Cold air in his lungs. Windswept pine.
So that part where it says it's not fear that grips him, but a heightened sense of things, that I think is going to directly translate to competition. When I compete in my prime, when I have competed in my prime, that is a great way to put it. You know, every athlete, if you get to a high level, it's very frustrating because you know what that state feels like when you're in your prime, and you know what it feels like when you're not in your prime, and it stinks. Like, you're still, and you can, as long as you really focus, you can still pull out the win and still win. Sometimes you don't win, though, and you're it's frustrating. But when you get into that point, there is that flow state. And the times that I've hit the flow state, it's that little sentence. It's not fear that grips him, but a heightened sense of things. I couldn't say that sentence couldn't be any more true. That's what I'd say is a good way to explain flow state and what you want to try to achieve. That's going to take a lot of competition. It takes a lot of practice to do it, but it feels really, really good. When you get into a good flow state and when you're, I'm going to go over it in a second. You're not in blitzkrieg mode, and you're not docile. Either one of those things, you get this a real heightened sense. You can think faster. You can see faster. Time perceives at a slower rate of speed. This is not mojo. This is actually, like, scientifically proven. It's studied. But you can perceive more things, more details. It's almost like people move slow motion. You move slow motion. You do things without even knowing that you're doing it, almost like a superhero or something, you know, Spider-Man-like sense. But what I've noticed is that I tried different styles. I tried a blitzkrieg style, and I tried a docile style. And both of those, it was hard for me to get into that flow state because I was either too hot or too cold. And then I found that sweet spot that's pretty sharp. And I'm going to go back to the clip, but it says, you know, the pines in the air. So you can really hear things in the crowd. You can differentiate a single voice. Like, I used to be able to, you know, you're in an auditorium, there's hundreds of thousands of people in there, and you can differentiate. You can focus in on one specific voice. It's pretty cool. Let's see if there's, I think the scene is just about done. Let's see.
It's moving against the coming night. His hands are steady. His form. Perfect.
Okay, so that's valuable as well. Hands are steady, form is perfect. Ants are real things. Automatic negative thoughts when you're going to get ready to compete. It's just a part of it. Human beings, we have negativity bias. It was a good evolutionary tool to keep us alive. You know, and the wolves, for real, were trying to hunt us and kill us and things like that. But you got to crush those automatic negative thoughts. The perfect form, like that's the visualization that you have to have. You have to visualize yourself when you visualize like a takedown or a submission. You have to visualize it going the way you want it. You have to visualize it going positive for you. And that takes actual practice. That's not automatic. Most humans automatically have negative thoughts. So, with that wording, it's not in a rage mode. It's a very clear, clean mental state of mind. And the really cool thing is that it does make you faster. It makes you stronger, but at the same time, you don't lose your mental faculties. So you don't lose emotional control. You don't go into this rage. A lot of people, when they fight, they have to, because fighting is so uncomfortable and it's such a stressful event, they have to work themselves into a rage. You know, if you watch a scary movie and somebody's, you know, they work themselves up, like, or they say, I've got a gun or something like that. When people work themselves up, it's a stressful, difficult thing. You're not the most clear at that point. Now, your strength will definitely go up. Your speed will definitely go up. The problem is because your governor, when you jack those emotions to the roof, you take the governor off on your strength and your speed. So your strength and speed goes way up. But the problem is that your cardio is going to zap very, very fast because you got no governor on. And actual fighting, like good fighting, is not 100% speed and 100% power 100% of the time. By definition, you can't sustain that rate of exertion for a very long time at all. So you have to have that brain. You still have to have your brain, your prefrontal cortex online. And the more emotional you get, the prefrontal cortex, you need that run in the show. Really difficult to do. When you get in that rage, I've tried it. I tried it really early wrestling in high school, and then I tried it a little bit in jiu-jitsu, but I kind of had already tried it out. But I tried the really, really, really hype, like the, you know, like you're going to war, you know, you're about to, it's kill or be killed, or, you know, you're thinking like you got armor and you're walking out there. That was the downside I saw to that, like the rage. Now, some people, again, I'm telling you, some people, it might work for you. All I'm saying is that if you think it works for you, just test it. Like, again, if you've seen my notebook video on the gym Instagram page, test it. You could put that in your test, in your log. You could put, like, tournament. Write down your mental strategy for how you're going to compete. Like, I was going in there, and I was thinking, I'm going to kill or be killed, or I'm going out there, and I'm going 100%, like I'm finishing everybody within 3 minutes, you know. We'll just write it down and just measure it. And if it works for you, awesome, it works for you. But that way, you know, what's going on if you measure it. Just so you get the best results. For me, it wasn't the best. And I've seen other people have hard times with it. You want to be focused. You don't want to be stressed out. The berserker mode too will kind of get you to the a little bit too stressed. You want to be focused, not stressed. You want to be fluid, not docile. Okay, fluid is they're different. Like, you know, everybody will say, I think relax might not be the best word. It is. It's not a terrible word. I would say fluid. You want to be fluid. You want to be able to adapt to the situation. You could really even go like, you want to be fluid like water and be able to move around. You want to be able to crash down like water, heavy. You want to be able to move quickly, all these different things. But I'd say fluid over. You definitely don't want to be docile, because I've done that too, where I try to come in really, really zen mode, like super just chill. And the problem that I had with that when I attempted that was my sharpness. My sharpness was just a little bit slower. There's like the lag time, you know, like a half second or like 1.5 seconds. But in a match, 1.5 seconds is a huge amount of time, especially when you're applying techniques. So that was a little bit not too good. That one and just a little bit lag time. Like, you know, jiu-jitsu is a game of inches and like milliseconds. And if there's a half second lag time, you could pay for that if you're going against a skillful and physical peer. You know, you're going against very, very good competitors. So that was my issue with going a little bit too chill, a little bit too relaxed, was there was little small opportunities that when I look back at the replay the match in my head or watch the footage. It's like, okay, all right, you were a little bit too laid back on that. So I think that it is possible to get too chill. So I just learned this from just competing, and I just started noticing it. And then I bought a sports psychology book, and I found there's a optimal arousal level for sports psych. There's a chapter in the book that talks about it, but it basically looks like an inverse U. So that just lets you know that like the sweet spot is right in the middle at the top. Like there's a certain point, there's a point of diminishing returns, but also you need to put some effort into it. You do need to get mentally stimulated before a competition. If not, you'll be, you don't want to get right off the couch, or sleeping or something like that. Now fight day, there was a regular thing. If I wasn't going to fight till 9 PM, I would actually sleep in. I would take a nap at the event in the locker room, but it was 3 hours out from the competition. I would wake up and I had a full routine scheduled out, 3 hours out from competition. So I'd wake up and get ready for competition to be primed. So I hit the blitzkrieg a little bit, but I think people get back to the notes. I think people get confused with the rage and blitzkrieg, rage and blitzkrieg style, or relaxed, passive, docile. So those are, I at least tried those. I tried that rageful blitzkrieg, and I tried the relaxed, passive, docile style, and both of them messed me up. Essentially, I lost matches because of it. And I did write down in my journal after I competed, I wrote down notes about it. So just giving you a little bit of info, because when I go over the notebook, I'm not zooming in on the pages. So right there at that sharpen point. So, that might be music that doesn't put you in a rage, but music that gets you really excited, that does get you excited, definitely like up tempo, music that you enjoy, and something that's going to make you want to go have a match and make you want to go, exert yourself physically. And not only is it going to, make you excited for it. Like you're like, okay, sweet. The music's a really, really good tool. You want to have a good warm up routine as well. But also with this, if you're on the other side where you're a little bit, you think you might be too chill, don't take this and start, and watch footage till 2 a.m., anything like that. If you're on the side where you're a little bit more aggro, naturally, you're a little bit more aggro-aggressive, then you might want to chill out a little bit and like, okay, I'm not, I don't need a, either way, you could definitely do too much the night before. The quick ones I could say, like Tyron Woodley, George St. Pierre, Kamaru Usman, there are countless, like a BJ Penn, there are countless. BJ's on more aggro side because he really does come from like a street fight mentality background. Like his book, he spoke about it and stuff, but he still has like a sharpness to him, and mindset wise. And on one of Joe Rogan's recent podcasts with Kamaru Usman, when he's talking about his mindset before he fights and competes, Usman essentially is in this frame of mind, really, really clear. He's set on it. He's not trying to kill anybody. He's not trying to hurt anybody. And a funny thing on it, he was talking about when he walks in, when he goes into the cage, he turns on and becomes, competitor Usman. And he's just known to be a really nice guy. But on it, he was talking about saying his prayer. And that is actually funny because you could go on to an old YouTube interview that I have. But Usman, I had the exact same prayer that Usman has, the prayer to protect myself and my opponent. If you were to listen to him, it's like almost the exact same prayer walking into the cage or walking onto the mat, which is a cool thing. Cool thing to hear it. But again, I did not create the idea. What I did was when I was trying to get good, I started studying really, really good people. And I was like, okay, how does that person go out there and how do they compete and go fight and keep their cool so well? Like how can they perform? How do they not freeze up? How do they not gas out? So I'm not saying I created it at all. I just noticed that, that a lot of fighters, it was a strategy they used. And it's with high performers, high performing MMA fighters and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioners. So hopefully this helps you out on the too hot, too cold, where you want to be. Trying to find that sweet spot. At the very least, even if you're still so new to competing that you don't know where you need to go or even what's going on, what's up, left, right, down, or back. Go in there and just whenever you get done, just write down in a journal what you thought about it, your mindset was, and because if you measure it, even if you right now you only have a sample size of one tournament, or this is going to be your first tournament, then just write it down, record it, and then you can start checking it out, and you could use this if you've already competed, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 times, 50 times, 100 times in different sports. You can start, you probably have a better sample size to calibrate, and maybe you already know your mindset that you like, but you could pass this on to somebody else who's just starting. But yeah, I hope everybody liked this podcast. I'll be at the tournament tomorrow early in the morning, so see there everybody there tomorrow competing at the Naga, and then next Saturday we have grappling games, so should be a fun couple weeks. Springtime, so it's going to be a busy time, and we always have a lot of new people come start training in the springtime, and everybody kind of starts working harder when the sun's out in general, so good thing. Oh, this is a funny side note. This it's not even worth talking about, but anyway, I got on our podcast platform, they started adding the option for sponsors, and it's pretty hilarious. I'm not going to put sponsors on the podcast. I may one day in the future put a sponsor on, but it would be something that that I actually like, that I actually use for a certain amount of time, and I find value out of it. But yeah, the sponsors they've offered, like Black Tuxedo, and it's pretty funny, the scripts that they try to get you to read. So yeah, not going to do sponsors like that. It needs to be something good. Nothing bad like that. So hopefully you enjoy the podcast. If you enjoy it, I'm not going to water it down with some annoying ads. I don't like to listen to ads. So anyway, hopefully you enjoyed this one, and see everybody at the Naga tomorrow, and then all week long in classes, and then grappling games next week. See everybody. Have a good one.